And here, if you've been around Life Church very long at all, you know that we're not really in a box, per se, in any area of ministry, whether it be worship, whether it be the word, the preached word. And sometimes we'll talk about and preach about some deep spiritual things. We'll talk about things that maybe everybody doesn't talk about. We'll talk about miracles. We'll talk about some of the weightier heart issues of life and all of these things. And then there's some times when we just need to talk about some of the practical ways to live out our lives. Just what can I put into practice on Monday morning, tomorrow? Well, what are some practical ABCs and 1-2-3s that I can do? It's good to know all the great stuff. It's good to see how God can work in this infinite, powerful God. But what are some things that I can put into my life tomorrow? He's given me a brain. He gave me a way to think. He's given me hands and feet to do. So what are some things that I can do? I'm not talking about performance. I'm not talking about working for our salvation. I'm not talking about any of these things. But what are some practical ways that I can begin to invoke the presence of God in my life? We talk about how we know that God works all things together for good in our lives. We preach that all the time. We know that that's who God is. That's what He does in our lives. We sing the songs and we preach the message that He fights our battles for us. And if we really believe that, then how do we implement that in our, how do we get that to work in our lives? Well, I want to talk about just some practical things today. As a matter of fact, just one practical thing today. One thing that I can begin to implement into my life, put into my life, that I believe will change our lives. This may not apply to everybody in the room. I'm going to tell you something, though. It speaks to Kevin Bates today. Psalms 45, verse 1, one verse of scripture. The psalmist writes and says, "My heart is overflowing with a good theme." My heart is overflowing with a good thing. I recite my composition concerning the king. Listen to this. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. My tongue, my speech, my mouth, it is the pen of a ready writer. The psalmist is saying here that the tongue is like the pen of another translation says, a skillful writer. A skillful writer. And this skillful writer that he's referring to and speaking of in his day would be a scribe. And this is one who the main job of the scribe is to do scripting. Scripting, for example, the words of a king or the words of a judge or the words of a military leader, that they would be scripted and then they would be acted upon. Their words, their decrees, they would be scripted by the scribe, they would be sent out, and then they would be acted upon. And the psalmist is saying that the tongue, when we speak, the words that we speak, it's like a pen that literally writes the script for the lives that we live. It literally writes the script for our future and our destiny. He's saying that our words ultimately will set the course for our lives. James 3, verse 4, it says, "Look also at ships." He says, "Although they are large and they're driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires." A word out of our mouth, sometimes it may seem like no account. It's just words. But it will ultimately accomplish and can accomplish anything in our lives. Words can accomplish anything, or it can destroy anything in our lives. The psalmist was telling us here how that our tongue is like the pen in the hand of a scribe. Our tongue is like a pen in the hand of a skillful writer. And James here, he's describing how a skilled pilot or a captain steers a boat with just a little small rudder. And by doing so, he sets the course for that large vessel. Even in strong winds, if he effectively uses that small rudder and uses it in the right way, he can set the course for the vessel, even with all the opposition. And then James goes on to say that this is what the tongue is like. This is what the tongue does, our speech, the things that we say. It's like a steering mechanism. It's like a rudder, like for those of us today who have already experienced this before we got here and will experience it as soon as we leave. It's like the steering wheel in our car. And though it's so very small compared to the overall size of the vehicle, we got to think about the power of that one little small piece of the puzzle in that vehicle, how it literally determines the direction of the vehicle. So whether it's the steering wheel in a car, or the rudder on a ship, or whether it's the pen in the hand of the writer, there's a lot of people today who are wondering why their lives are in such a mess. There's a lot of people today who are wondering why their lives are in such shambles. And I know that there are people, there are those of us probably in this room who have experienced some bad circumstances. There's been maybe some very unfair and unfortunate situations that have happened in our lives, and I don't discount those things. Things that were not your fault, things that you didn't ask for, things that you didn't cause in your life, they just happened. But let's be honest, in most cases, most of us whose lives we find in a mess, whether it's an ongoing mess or whether it's just a daily mess today, for those many of us, what we've really done, the reason why our life is in the situation that it's in right now, or the reason why we're facing the particular drama or dilemma that we're facing right now, is because we have underestimated the power of our words. We just always said what comes to mind. You know those people. They said, I'm just gonna tell it like it is. And so they just speak their feelings, they just express their negative emotions, and they just do it freely, and they do it carelessly, and they just throw those negative words around every time, saying things like, I don't care. I don't care what you or anybody else thinks. I'm just gonna tell it like it T-I is. I mean, I'm just gonna, do you know people like that? Do you know anybody like that? I mean, let's be honest. Like, it's okay to be authentic. It's okay to be real. It's okay to talk about the things that matter. But at the end of the day, if I just have that kind of attitude, at the end of the day, I'm just a mean person. At the end of the day, I'm just being flat out rude. I don't care what anybody thinks. But meanwhile, while they don't care what anybody thinks and they're just gonna tell it like it is, their marriages are in shambles. Their family is full of strife, and they're always experiencing some kind of turmoil in their life. Many of these people will refuse. They'll refuse to believe that something as small as words could have literally written a whole different script for their lives. These words that created chaos in their life, it was the words that created this turmoil, that caused this damage that they're now living out in their lives. And the sooner we can recognize the creative power of our words, the sooner we can begin to script a future for our lives that is one that aligns with God's word. And not just for our lives, but for future generations to come. I believe we affect even the next generation by the words that we speak. Our words, they're not just sounds. They're not just language and communication. Our words are creative. Our words literally are prophetic. Our words create a script that sets the course for our life. Our tongue is writing the script for our lives and our future. For example, when we complain, we're creating a future life of a complainer. That's what we're doing. When we complain, our future is lived out as a life of one who complains. And honestly, the simplest definition of complaining is this: it's talking about the things that we don't want rather than talking about the things that we do want. When we complain, we're using our words to focus on the things that we don't like and the things that we don't want in our lives. The first complainer in the Bible, the very first one we see recorded, is the first character recorded, and that's Adam. Adam was the first complainer in the Bible. Guess who the second complainer was? It was Eve. Adam complained about Eve. Eve complained about the serpent. The serpent made me do it. The devil made me do it. Complaining has been around from the very beginning, and it's been around ever since. The people of Israel in the book of Exodus, we saw where they were constantly complaining. The people were complaining about Moses. Moses was complaining about the people, and their complaining is what ultimately kept them out of the land of promise. Complaining doesn't make anything better. In fact, complaining makes nothing better. Nothing gets better by complaining. Negative speaking, talking, complaining will have a negative effect on our life and future. Complaining will create a different future than what we than when we stop complaining. And we just make a choice to say, okay, I'm going to start. I like to say it this way. I'm going to start, stop complaining. I'm going to start, stop complaining. I'm not just going to say I'm going to start complaining. I'm going to stop complaining. I'm making an effort today. I'm starting this journey today. And in this journey, what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop complaining. And there's four things that complaining causes in our future. And I just want to hit them real quick. Number one, complaining creates a future where we're bringing all the focus on the things that we don't like. And we're creating a kind of focus in our life, not that kind of focus in our life, not just for today, but for tomorrow and for generations to come. The second thing that happens is that complainers assume that by complaining, they're actually doing something. I've actually done something, which ultimately causes them to do nothing. And so they become the least productive people in society. When one complains, they actually feel like they're contributing something. They really feel like I've really evaluated something here and I've really done something. And that's why a lot of people complain, because they've been deceived into thinking that by complaining, I'm actually contributing something here, because it gives them that false impression that they're actually doing something. But meanwhile, nothing effectively has been done at all. And nothing helpful has been done for themselves. Nothing's been helpful has been done for anyone around them, and nothing has been done for their future. And the third thing, complainers create a future where the only people who want to be around them are other complainers. Have you noticed that? Birds of a feather flock together. You've heard that phrase before. Misery loves company. If I'm going to complain all the time, it's easier for me to complain around a bunch of other complainers. Complainers don't hang out very long around positive people because it don't work. I don't know how to communicate positive. All I know how to do is complain. So when you start talking about good stuff and positive things, I don't know how to engage in that kind of dialogue because it's not part of who I am. And number four, I like this one. Complainers create a world where even they don't want to be in. Nothing's ever going right in their world. Think things only get worse and worse. Everything's going to hell in a handbasket. Everything is wrong. They don't even like their own life anymore. And that's what happens when we go down the pathway of complaining. I think the best question to ask complainers about complainers is this: how did they get there? If I'm a complainer, if you're a complainer, what was the journey that got us here? How did we get here? How did we get to this place where we become that person that I just described, those four things that I just described? How did we get there? We got there by complaining. They get to that place because they're focused on the things they don't like. They get there because, and they ultimately accomplish less than most people, and the only people who want to be around them are other complainers, and they don't even like their own life. They get there because they complain their way there. I love the story of the construction worker who every day when he and his co-construction workers got together and sat out there and they opened up their lunch pails, and every single day this one guy would just complain. He would complain about having the same tuna fish sandwich every single day, and every day he'd open that pail, he said, "Tuna fish again? I'm so sick and tired of tuna fish." And finally one day one of the co-workers just had enough, and he said, "Man, look, if you're so tired of tuna fish, why don't you just tell your wife you want something different?" He says, "What do you mean, my wife? I make my own lunch." There's a couple of quotes I like when it comes to this thing called complaining, and one of them is this: don't complain about what you allow. Don't complain about what you allow. Another one is this: if you don't like something, change it. If you can't change it, change your attitude, but don't complain. I don't want anybody here to get the wrong idea today. I'm not talking about ignoring issues in our lives. I realize that stuff happens. I realize there are negative forces and there's negative things that happen. I realize there's things in our lives that we're not going to like and we shouldn't like. I get all of that. I'm not talking about burying our head in the sand and just pie in the sky and act like nothing's ever wrong. That's not what I'm speaking of at all. What I am saying is that we don't have to engage in it. We don't have to engage our heart into it. We don't have to engage our mind into it. And we certainly don't have to engage our tongue into it. I had an employer way back in the day who taught me a valuable lesson. It was one of our first, like almost 101 in the job. And he said this, he says, I don't mind you bringing an issue to me. I don't mind you bringing a complaint to me. If you need to come and just bellyache about some things, I'm okay with that. I have an open door for that. But don't ever bring a problem to me unless you have researched and you found at least three potential solutions to that problem. That was powerful to me, because I realized, you know what, I can address what's wrong. I can look at what's wrong, but immediately, even after acknowledging the thing that's wrong and the problem, the thing I want to complain about, my mind and my efforts and my thoughts immediately went to, well, how can we fix that problem? And I had to come up with three possible ways to do that. And by the time I got through coming through the solutions, I was already over the complaining, because I'm driven by what is good and what is right. And what can happen here to bring about a good thing for everybody? Someone might say, my boyfriend treats me like dirt. Well, the message to that person today is this: don't complain, get rid of the boyfriend. You've heard people say, well, nobody will give me a job. Well, the message to that person today is, don't complain, make yourself so valuable that people are literally lining up to give you a job. My spouse and I, we both have jobs, but yet we never seem to have enough money at the end of the day. Don't complain. Get over here and talk to C.C. Kimball. Where is he? He was here just a minute. There he is over there. See, come talk to C.C. Kimball. He'll get you in a Financial Peace University class. And when you do it, don't just do part of it. Do all of it. Do it just the way it says to do it. And I promise you, it'll change your finances. Well, we've tried budgeting and we do all that, but yet we still seem to have no money at the end of the day. Well, have you tried tithing yet? Because I want to tell you something. I never had a tither come to me and tell me they struggled financially. It's never happened before. It's never happened. So don't complain. Just start tithing. I've had people say, I haven't had very many people come to this church and tell me this, but over the years, there's been one or two that's told me, says, you know, nobody was really friendly to me at church. Nobody spoke to me. I'm thinking, Life Church? Nobody spoke to you at Life Church? And then it didn't take me long to get into that conversation and watch the look on this person's face, and I realized this person is a complainer. This person is somebody who's always looking at the negative. And it didn't take me long to finally realize that, wait a minute, you had a look on your face when you walked in the door that says, don't get near me, you stay away from me. They had already worked it up in their mind before they even walked in the door that nobody there was going to be friendly. That was the focus when they got there. And so as a result, guess what happened? Nobody was friendly. Or so they thought. Stop complaining. Let's just imagine today. Let's just imagine for a moment that we're going to completely eliminate complaining from our lives. Let's just say that we'll all take this message today to heart sincerely. And we create some kind of way. I don't know how we do it. I don't know if you put a rubber band on your wrist and pop yourself every time you think a complaining thought or say a complaining word, whatever it is. But let's just imagine that we truly take it to heart and we say to ourselves, I'm making a commitment to myself and I'm making a commitment to my future to not be a complainer. And if we took it seriously and we truly stop the complaining, what do you think would happen? Imagine for a moment. What if it's 50 times a day that I'm complaining? Maybe sometimes when I don't even realize I'm complaining. I'm just thinking about the worst. I'm thinking about the negative. I'm talking about the negative. I don't know what it is for you or what it is for me, but we decide, let's just maybe decide today that it's 50 times. And we decide, not today. Not today. No complaining from me today. No harsh criticism from me today. No negative talk today. I'm going to eliminate complaining from my thoughts and my speech. And if we commit to that, and we begin to make a conscious effort to eliminate complaining from our lives, here's what is likely to happen. Less complaining in our lives and through our mouths is all of a sudden going to create a void in our dialogue. It's all of a sudden going to create an emptiness in our conversations. And there will be pockets of time throughout our day where we won't have anything to say. We'll be lost for words, literally. There won't be anything to say. And at the moment where we would normally bellyache and complain and gripe, there's nothing there. It's just empty space, which will then cause us to start searching for something to say other than complaining. And this is the scripting of our life and our future. In the absence of complaining, our tongue, just like the pen in the scribe's hand, in that skillful writer's hand, it starts to script phrases. It starts to say things that it ordinarily wouldn't say, because ordinarily in this moment I would be complaining, but now there's this empty space and I got to fill it with something. And so I begin to fill it with not complaining. And not complaining literally opens the door for better comments and better conversations and better words. Things that we would habitually and naturally say before, now that we're shutting off the old script, that normal and natural thing can't flow out anymore. Now we're coming up with new scripting, and our complaining is beginning to be replaced with conversations that's actually helpful, that's actually contributing, that's actually giving something, that's actually making a difference. And it's changing our life and our future. Instead of griping and complaining, all of a sudden we're showing consideration. All of a sudden we have more empathy for others and other situations. All of a sudden we actually are looking for even a compliment, to give a compliment somewhere, which means that we now are contributing. We now are being helpful to others around us and to our future. And when we start to, as I said it earlier, as we start to stop complaining, we will create a void that then allows us to become the scribe. We become the script writer of our own future story and our destiny. And we ultimately do it for generations to come. We start writing a better script, a script that's healthier, a script that's full of spiritual vitamins and nutrients, a script that starts to make the story of our life greater and better, and all that God intended for it to be. All those promises that we speak, that we declare and we worship about and we preach about, all of a sudden those things begin to come to fruition as we come into alignment with our heart and with our voice. Proverbs 16:24, it says pleasant words. I love that, but another version says kind words. Everybody say kind words. Kind words, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul, listen to this, and health to the bones. He's literally talking about physical life now. I'm going to tell you something. I've watched this and I've seen it. I have people in my life right now who are suffering physically. Get this. I know there's health, there's medical professionals in this room that can testify to this. There are people that come into their clinics and see them, and they're trying their best to diagnose them, and they're dealing with all this pain and physical pain, and they're dealing with all these ailments and issues, and they cannot diagnose it. And the reason they cannot diagnose it is because ultimately it's not coming from the physical battle. It's ultimately coming from that thing that's eating them up on the inside emotionally, and now it's having an effect on them physically, and they can't diagnose it as cancer, they can't diagnose it as diabetes, they can't diagnose it as heart disease, or because they realize that it's something deeper than that. It's literally health to our bones. Kind words, not starting to not complain, is literally like a honeycomb. It's sweetness to the soul, and it's health to the bones. I feel like I'm physically healthier when I'm living a life of that's not complaining. And look, let me go ahead and take a little side road here now, and we'll stay on it till we end. But it's just this. I'm not talking about us training ourselves to talk right. We all know how to do that. And that's a good thing. It's very important. But it's not a matter of just having mind over matter, and I'm going to train myself to say things that I really don't feel. That's just kind of being deceptive. That's just sort of trying to bury and suppress things that's going on inside my heart and life if I'm just trying to talk it out and talk the rhetoric. That's not what we're talking about today. That would be very shallow to just talk about, okay, here's how we're going to talk. Let's use the right words, boys and girls. I mean, that's not what we're doing today. But our words begin with where our heart is. What comes out of our lips, what comes through our mouth, what comes through our tongue is ultimately coming from the heart. In fact, the Bible tells us that. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's why it says in our key verse today, Psalm 45:1, the very first words, it says, My heart is overflowing with a good thing. So I recite my composition concerning my king, my tongue now, because my heart is overflowing with a good thing. Now my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And the question for all of us to ask today and ask ourselves is this: what is our heart overflowing with? What is my heart overflowing? What is the theme of my heart right now? Is it bitterness? Is it unforgiveness? Is it anger? What is it that is flowing out of my heart? Is it grace and compassion and love? Is it worry and fear? What is it that is over? What is the theme of my heart today? That is the question for all of us to ask. Because I promise you, whatever's here is what's going to be coming out here. And whatever's coming out here is literally scripting our future. We have to be careful what it is we allow ourselves to get stirred up about, because it leads to what we talk about, which leads to the story of our life. Which is why Proverbs 4:23 has such a strong warning in it. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. The NIV says it this way: above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart. That's why Paul would write in Ephesians and say, put on the breastplate of righteousness, a right way of thinking, a right way of looking at life. That's what's going to guard and protect your heart. He's simply saying, guard your heart. Can I just remind all of us in this room today, we've all been hurt in some way. We've all been offended in some way. Somebody has done us all wrong at some point. We've all been cheated out of something. But can I just remind all of us today, it's not someone else's place to guard our hearts. Can I say it one more time? It's not somebody else's responsibility to guard my heart. It's not somebody else's business to make sure I don't get offended. It's not somebody else's responsibility to make sure that I don't get my feelings hurt or that I don't get angry. Well, I'm angry because they did. No, that's what they did. I have a choice now to guard my heart. It doesn't matter what they did. I'm the one that's going to fall into that spiral if I don't guard my heart. Guard your heart, because out of it will flow your story. It'll flow your future, your destiny. And our story flows out of our mouth. And our mouth and our tongue is a pen that writes the next chapter of our life and our future. I love the way the psalmist said, my heart is overflowing with a good theme. A good theme. My prayer today is that for every one of us, as some of you, I got to shake your hand a while ago or hug your neck, and I said, how you doing? I'm doing great. I'm doing good. I'm telling you, some of the people I spoke to, they may not be doing real good in the natural. They might have woke up with some aches and pains this morning. They might have just faced hell yesterday, but they said, you know what? I'm not going to let that rule and reign in my heart. I'm going to guard my heart, and so out of my heart is going to flow a good theme. Here's the thing about the psalmist. He wasn't perfect. He had bad days. He had some bad days. I can tell you, I can take you through, especially the psalmist David's story in his life. He had some rough moments in his life, but he's telling us something here about the ability to have good things coming out of your heart. Not a negative theme, but a good theme. It's not a life is terrible theme. How many of you know that person? Everything is bad. Everything's going to hell in a handbasket. Life is over as we know it. I have wonderful, precious, loving, God-fearing, God-loving people in my life that honestly, I'm just going to be honest. I love them. I'll hug them when I see them. I'll try to encourage, but I can't hang out with them very long Because I'm going to tell you something, that's going to start rubbing off on me. And it's happened recently. This happened recently where I was literally around someone. I love this individual so very much. I was around them, and literally, like in the 5 minutes I was around them, I heard nothing but the woes of life and how bad life was, how terrible the world was. And I'm gonna tell you something, just in that 5 minutes, I was already starting to sink. I'm just not gonna lie. I don't have the backbone that everybody thinks I have. Like, I can fall hook, line, and sinker with you. I'm an empathetic pastor. I'm telling you, when you're crying, I'm crying. And I had to just get away. And it's so ironic and so coincidental, or just so happenstance, whatever. God did something. He allowed me to have lunch that day, just a few moments later, with someone who was the polar opposite. And that person, without even knowing it, without even knowing the conversation I was just in, literally pulled me right out of the doldrums. Because there was a good theme that was flowing from his heart, and it was contagious. Not singing the "I've been treated wrong" song, "I've been done wrong" song, "I can't trust anybody" theme in my life. It's not "my life is harder than your life" theme. This is the reason why I'm asking all of us to ask ourselves the question today: what is my theme? What is the theme that is flowing from my heart? And the reason that question is so important is because wherever our heart is, that's our mouth is going to begin to speak what comes from the heart. And our mouth and our tongue is going to begin to write the script from whatever's coming from our heart. And then as our tongue begins to write that speech and write that story, we begin to live out that story. But he said, "My heart is overflowing with a good thing." And so it begins in the heart. It doesn't begin with the speech. It begins with the heart. Our heart, every one of us in this room, our heart is full of something. Our heart is going to be stirred by something. Our heart is overflowing with something. Our heart is focused on something. And the heart leads to scripting. And scripting leads to our story. We start to understand that when the wrong stuff gets in the source. We start to understand it when those wrong things start to get in our heart, and we begin to rely on our tongue to rewrite the script. Because see, even though the heart comes first, we can tell the mouth, we can tell the tongue what to do. "I feel this in my heart. I feel anger in my heart. But you know what? I'm going to guard my heart, and now I'm going to rewrite the script. I'm rewriting the story. Give me the pen. I have the power. The enemy can't control and rule everything in my life. Oh, yes, this situation might come, and it might plant a seed in my heart, but now I have the power. God has given me the power. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, and I have the power to rewrite the script now." I'm closing with this, and this is the familiar verse that you've all probably been waiting to hear today, because it's the verse that is the key verse to everything we're talking about today. Some of you have already written it down in your notes. You put it in your phone because you knew it was coming. Proverbs 18:21. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Death and life. Wisdom here. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. But it's the second part of that verse that I think is so powerful. Because we all know that. We all know that if you speak negative, and you know you're going to see negative, if you speak life and speak, we've talked about that all the time. But it says, "And those who love it will eat its fruit." What's he speaking of? Which one do you love? What's in your heart? Do you love to talk about the dead things? Do you love to focus on the dark things, the death things in our lives? Or are you focused on, or is your heart focused on life and future and the good theme of life? Because whichever one you love, whichever one it is that's scripting your life, guess what? That's the fruit that you're going to bear. That's what you're going to be eating on all day long. If you focus on the dead things, you're going to be eating the dead things all day long. If you're focused on life, you're going to enjoy and embrace and have the life, the abundant life that Christ gave us. When we read so many of the Psalms, we see how the psalmist will script his future. He says things like, "Surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord." What's he doing here? He's scripting his future. He doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow. He doesn't know about the challenge and the adversity he's going to face tomorrow, but he's scripting his story. He's writing it, and he's saying it as if. He's speaking those things that are not as though they are. My question is, what are we scripting for our future? What are we saying? What are the words that we're speaking? We should script with our tongue the things that we want to see happen, the things that we desire to see happen, not what we don't want to see. The psalmist would say things like this. He'd say, I'm like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God, Psalm 52 and 8. I can just imagine that the psalmist is he's looking out the window that day. And no doubt he had all kinds of issues and trials and plenty of stuff to be able to complain about, but he chooses to walk to the window and open the curtain and look out, and he sees that flourishing olive tree. And he's just trying in his heart to write the script. And he's just trying to be as descriptive as he can. And so as he opens that window, it's like a visual in front of him. And he sees this big, plump, fat, flourishing olive tree. And he chooses, he makes a choice to see himself and see his situation and his future and his future story just like that beautiful olive tree. And so he begins to script his future. I'm like an olive tree that's flourishing in the house of God. I'm not dying. I'm not dying. I'm flourishing. He's scripting tomorrow. He's scripting next week. He's scripting next year. He said, I will rejoice with those who said, let us go to the house of the Lord, Psalm 122 and 1. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will continually, always, in every moment, his praise will continually be where? In my mouth. Doesn't matter what the enemy's trying to speak into my heart. It doesn't matter what the situations or the circumstances are of life. I make a choice today. His praise will continually be on my mouth. I'm going to speak and declare the goodness of God. He didn't say his praise will be in my mouth until I get angry at somebody. He didn't say his praise will be on my mouth until I get laid off of my job. He's saying on the good days and on the bad days, on the mountaintop and in the valley, I'll never stop thanking God. I'll never stop thanking him for his favor, for his goodness, for his ever presence and his blessings in my life every single day. His praise will always be in my mouth. I wish that today, as a congregation of people, individually, as families, married couples, parents, grandparents, I wish that today we could just make a fresh commitment to say, God, I want my heart and my mouth to come into alignment with who you say I am. I want my heart and my mouth to come in alignment with what you say my future and my purpose is. Y'all, there's a lot of negative out there right now. Turn the news on for 5 minutes, and you're going to hear about how awful things are in the world, how awful things are going to be for your children and your grandchildren. Everything is hopeless. Everything is not as going to hell in a handbasket. It already is, okay? That's what you're going to hear. And there are some realities about that. It is true. There are some really bad and negative things happening in our world right now. There's things being accepted and looked at that contradict. I mean, there's all kinds of terrible things that's happening. There's plenty to complain about. But let our prayer be, I wish for every one of us, our prayer could be, God, no matter what's happening around me, no matter what the enemy is trying to speak into my heart, God, I want my mind, I want my heart, and I want my mouth that literally writes my future. I want it to come into alignment with what you say. What do you say? Not what Fox News says, not what the political leaders say, not what the naysayers say. God, what do you say? And here's what I know God says, that we're all here by purpose. None of us were an accident. And that God has a purpose and a plan. If you're breathing today, God has a purpose and a plan for your life and future. I don't care if you're 9 or 99. God, if you are here and you're alive today, God has a purpose and a plan. And here's what I know about God's purposes and plans. They're always good. They're always good. His plans are perfect and they are good. Does that mean life is going to be perfect? No. But he is perfect and he is good, and what he does in and through our lives. So let's quit cursing our future. Let's quit speaking the negative, and let's declare the goodness of God. Would you stand with me today? Let me just say it this way. You might have come here today with things that are in your heart that you're carrying over from your past. For some of us today, we're carrying a lot of guilt. We're carrying shame. For some of us, we carry that condemnation, that fear, because of what was in our past. Maybe bad experiences, disappointments, setbacks. And in all probability, you could maybe be talking and living and scripting from that place. And I just want to rebuke that today. I just want to declare today that in God, there is no, you don't have a past. He has washed that away, and in God, you only have a future. And he has future plans for you. And the more the enemy would try to convince us that our past is holds us there and keeps us in prison to that place, we'll never be able to effectively live out the life that God has called us to and live out that script that I believe he's calling us today to begin to write. What's in your heart? What's the theme? Is it somebody did me wrong? Is it you don't know what I've been through? How many times have you heard that? In other words, my pain's greater than your pain. You have no idea. God's good in this area, but you don't know what I've faced. So many people are talking and living from a script. And that script is not going to give them the story. It's not going to give them the future that God has scripted for them. We cannot rewrite our history, but we can certainly rewrite our destiny and our future and our story. We can't change what happened yesterday, but when we begin to rewrite the story, we can change our tomorrow. Our text said, my tongue is like the pen of a ready writer. I love that version, because what it says is, you don't have to talk me into it anymore. I'm fully convinced. I am ready. I'm all in. I'm going to get up tomorrow. And I'm not going to complain. I'm going to say with everything that's within me, this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that the Lord has made. He has created me and he has made me. And this is the day that he has given me purpose and destiny and plans. And I have a future and I have a story. And this is the day. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. There's going to be a good theme coming from my heart today. And I'm going to write that script with every word that I say. Father, I thank you today, God, for your presence that we have felt in this room today. It began, Lord, with people walking into the doors, saying, God, I come today to rejoice. I come today to worship you and exalt you. And then it flowed into our time of worship and song and singing the goodness and the greatness of God. And God, I thank you for reminding us from your word today that, God, you have given us that creative power. God, you created us in your image. You gave us that creative and prophetic power to write the script of our lives. And your word has reminded us of that today. Today, God, we choose. We make a conscious choice to say, God, I'm going to guard my heart. That heart that you created, that heart that you put only good in, God. I guard that heart today. Let your peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, let that peace guard our hearts and minds. And let that good theme, God, begin to flow from our hearts today. And may it flow not just from our hearts, but may it flow even through our mouths. And let our tongue, God, be that ready pen, Lord, in the hand of a skillful writer as we begin to scribe, as we begin to write the story for our future. God, I rebuke the voice of the enemy that would come and try to bring condemnation and shame, or trying to bring up the past. God, I rebuke the voice of fear and anxiety and worry and stress that would cloud and prevent the re-scripting of our lives. And God, I declare that only your word can penetrate our hearts, that only your truths, God, can come and speak into our hearts and lives. And let that be the overflow of our lips today as we begin to script our future. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If that's your prayer today and you believe that and you're going to practice that, would you put your hands together today and let's give the Lord a great ovation of praise.